my name is Danny DeMarco, and I am the interpretation coordinator here at the Lehigh Valley Zoo.
Hello, I'm John Rossi. I'm a touring drummer with a passion for animal conservation. When I'm on the road, I spend as much time as possible visiting zoos, aquariums, and conservation organizations. Now, I want to share those places with you. I'll be talking to keepers, vets, conservationists, anyone who can help me in my mission of connecting my people to animals through their people. Join me on my raw safari.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Raw Safari Podcast. So this week is the episode that was originally going to be last week until Joel Sartore decided to crash my podcast. And I'm really excited to take you back to the Lehigh Valley Zoo for another episode with Danny DeMarco and a slightly different look at the zoo and a slightly different kind of episode than we've done before. So you may remember that the last episode was in the penguin habitat and was focused on the penguins and how they take care of penguins and all that good kind of stuff. Now, we've had species-specific episodes before, for sure, but I think this might be the first time that we've just had an episode completely about one animal that we were hanging out with while recording. So for this episode, we are going in with an ambassador raccoon that lives at the Lehigh Valley Zoo named Miko. And Miko is an absolute star, and you are going to hear this entire encounter in this episode. You've already met Danny from, you know, the episode two episodes ago. So yeah, there's no need to do an introduction. There's no, how did you get here? There's nothing. This literally starts off with us walking into Miko's enclosure. And, honestly, the only things I cut were a couple of moments where there was silence because we were all so enthralled with what Miko was doing. The rest of the time, you're going to hear us chatting about Miko, chatting about some different philosophies of ambassador animals, some training stuff, all kinds of really good stuff. And it was really fun to do something like this and to make it into such a different episode. There is one slight thing I need to warn you about, which is we were near construction that's going on at the zoo, and the construction radios were apparently on the same frequency as my side of the portable recorder I was using for this. So there is some static, there is some interference, and actually towards the end you may notice that my voice gets quieter than Danny's, and that is because, honestly, that side got so bad that I couldn't fix it. There was all kinds of weird interference, not just static, but even, honestly, it kind of sounded like video game music from like a video game in the early 80s. So it's all good. You can still hear everything. But I did my best. I did a lot of cleaning on this one. But that interference is just something you can't overcome. So it's there, but it's not too bad until the end. And then I found a pretty good workaround for it. And it's still well worth the listen because you're literally about to go hang out with a raccoon for like 35 minutes. And that's really exciting. Before we get to that, I just want to remind you all to make sure that you hit subscribe and don't miss any episodes. Also, make sure you're following along on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Raw Safari, on TikTok at Raw Safari Pod, and don't forget that you can support the podcast for as little as $3 a month by going to patreon.com/Raw Safari. People who are patrons at any level get some exclusive bonus audio from many of the episodes, including this one. You're going to hear Danny talk about the giraffes at the zoo and a fox that lives at the zoo and what like those holiday light events can do at the zoo for the zoo. It's all very exciting. So yeah, if you're a patron, you'll have some bonus audio waiting for you. And if you're not, well, then you should become one, and then you will. All right, so without further ado, let's go in and meet Miko. All right, and whose gate are you unlocking?
I am unlocking talking Miko the raccoon.
Miko!
Game. So this is
so
Miko.
Ambassador raccoons are not super common.
Correct.
Do you know anything? I know you're newer here, but anything about how this became a thing? And
yeah, so Miko came from, I'm just going to shut that. We should be good. Miko came from Columbus Zoo, I believe.
I love the Columbus Zoo.
And she was a show raccoon.
Okay.
And she did their shows and their stage routines.
Yeah.
And then she was retired from their stage routines. So then she came here to the zoo.
Oh.
So she was raised as an ambassador animal.
Right.
So she was raised by people. She was, I think, raised with her sister at one point. So very used to humans and used to people. So that's why she came to our department as an ambassador,
right,
since she had done that her entire life. Miko Stump.
I'm never surprised that animals are well trained, but I'm always so impressed. Miko, that was hilarious.
So she does have that behavior that I'm not going to say it out loud, because if I do, then she's going to do it. But that's just so that she doesn't walk through our hallway. So we have a double-doored hallway, just so that if she gets into this mini area over here, she won't get through to the other side.
Right.
But this is the easiest way for us and the keepers to get in there. Good job, girly. To get in here without her walking right through the door. So it's more of a safety thing for us and for her to keep her where we need her to be.
Makes
sense.
She's
really good at it, and she kind of knows the drill once we're in here.
Hi, Miko. How are you? Oh, you're so cute.
But yeah, she is 10 years old. Just turned 10 years old this year, which
okay.
is March, so almost 11 now. But she turned 10 years old this year.
All right. And what is her personality like?
Yeah.
Big, I can tell that.
Big, yeah. So she's very social. She's definitely a ambassador raccoon, to say
right.
the least. She was raised by humans, near humans. So she definitely is very comfortable around us, which makes her the perfect candidate for us to do our encounters in here and do a more close-up encounter with a raccoon, which you don't normally see.
No.
But a lot of the encounters and stuff we do is very rehearsed, and she's very used to the things we do to make it safe for everybody, because with these encounters, safety is our number one priority.
Right.
So because safety is our number one priority, everything we do in here is the same every time. So she's very used to it. She knows what's about to happen. Just this way, we know that she is not going to have any surprises. It's predictable for
sure.
her, which is the best. Some things are not predictable, and that's okay, but at least that's predictable.
I wonder what she is smelling right now,
because
there have been dogs on there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, these jeans have been to I was at a bat rescue and rehab yesterday.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, there are some scents
on
these jeans.
Oh, I'm sure.
Some penguins, obviously.
Yes, I'm sure. She's a really good nose, so she's good at smelling. These guys, omnivores, they eat anything they can get their hands on. Today we have a mix of a kind of a hard chow that's for carnivores, and then she has fruits, veggies, and then we have fish today as her protein.
Okay.
So she gets a wide range of stuff.
That's cool. And talk to me a little bit about what the purpose of an ambassador raccoon is, as far as ambassador animals exist to tell the stories of
mm-hmm.
their wild counterparts.
Yes.
And, you know, when you have an ambassador fennec fox, you're talking about Africa and blah, 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 and deserts. She a raccoon.
Yes.
So what is the story that Miko tells?
So my favorite story to tell about Miko is to not have raccoons as pets. So she's one of those, like, leave our wild animals wild
right.
type of animals. And that's the biggest message for her. Because people interact with raccoons on a daily basis at times. They live in their backyards. They find them in their dumpsters. So it's more of the let the wild animals stay wild, and make sure that we're not feeding raccoons different things that they will eat, because again, they eat anything that they can get their hands on.
Right.
So letting them kind of exist in our area without it being a forced existence of us bringing them into our homes. So the biggest thing I say about raccoons not being pets is they can carry a parasite in their poop that will kill a dog.
Oh, okay.
So don't attract raccoons to your backyard if you have a dog as a pet.
Right.
Because they can contract a worm or parasite or something in their poop. And if it's in your backyard, then that's definitely not going to be a good thing for you guys if you have a pet, a dog. So don't bring them into your backyard with pets. They're definitely not an animal that also is a good pet. They destroy everything. They eat everything. They rip up a bunch of stuff. So they're not domesticated in any way that is helpful to you.
Right.
While they're really cute and they got cute little hands, they're destructive. And she is destructive and probably not the best animal to have around.
So I'm curious. I think that is a great message. And that makes all the sense in the world to me. And oh my God, that was the cutest behavior ever. Just standing up and putting her paws up. Do you ever find that you get a little pushback to that, or a little bit of a question to that as you have the best behaved, most wonderful? I mean, look,
yes.
I know that raccoons don't make good pets, mm-hmm. but I would totally want to take Mika home right now.
Yeah, so I usually say that. She's also a non-contact animal, so I'm going to have her come up just so she's doing some things. She's a non-contact animal, and so we try not to touch her too much.
Right.
When she's shedding, we can brush her because that feels really good to her.
Oh, that's awesome.
Turn. That's not a turn. Turn there you go. Good. So she is a non-contact animal. She's not an animal that wants to sit in your lap and get pet and be like a dog or a cat that wants to interact with you too much. So it's definitely a different relationship if you had one as a pet.
Right.
Not something I would let sleep in my bed with me. Not something I would want to cuddle with, because while she's really cute, she still has really sharp feet. You can see them there on top of me. She's got really sharp teeth as well. So a lot about her is not something I would want near me in a very comfortable capacity. We have a very controlled setting here, a very controlled area that she can interact with us in. She knows kind of the standard and stuff like that. But in a setting where things are unpredictable, it can really cause them to have different behaviors that we wouldn't want in our house, and it's not safe to be around. So right now we're in a very controlled setting. She knows kind of what's going on. She knows the drill. But if it got out of control, or it got to be a little bit too chaotic, that could trigger some behaviors for her that wouldn't be something we would all want to be around.
Right.
Sure.
No, that makes a lot of sense. That's really good messaging around that. Yeah.
Do you want to come over this way? We'll take a walk.
Where are we going? Where are we going, Miko?
So obviously she's very smart. So as you can see, she definitely is looking like, where's the food? What can I do to get the food? So we have a lot of different trained behaviors with her to keep her mentally stimulated, which is the other problem of having a raccoon as a pet. If you're not doing anything with them, they're going to get bored, and that's when they destroy. They do a lot of things that you wouldn't want in your house. So we have a lot of different behaviors to kind of help her keep her brain moving a little bit, keep her mentally stimulated. So one of the things, we have our box here.
Oh, she just went up your slide.
She went up her slide.
Good job.
So one of the things, we have our box over here. Station. And this is where she gets her voluntary injections.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So in order to, whether we have to give her a specific injection, or if they're trying to get blood from her, whatever our vets need to do, we can try and do that in this block. So we can hold her here, and then a vet's going to be on the other side of our fence.
Okay.
And they can give her the injection through the fence, so it's safe for all people involved, and it's voluntary. So we don't want to try and force her, especially since she is such a hands-on animal, and we can be in here free contact. We're trying to make it as easy for her as possible instead of putting her under anesthesia every time we need to do a behavior. Oh, thanks for your hand. I appreciate your hand. Good job. You got it. There you go. So we do this with her. We practice with our keepers, our educator staff, and then our vets will come down. We do have some practice needles to work with her, some practice syringes as well. And then our vets will come down and do it with her with a more, with a saline solution. They can do it with an actual needle with a point on it so that she does get that feeling, because the initial feeling of a needle in your leg is definitely different from us putting a blunt object in.
Sure. Yeah.
To practice it, so our vets can come down and help us practice to get her ready for the final actual injection we need to give her.
Right.
Which is really cool. So this was one of the best, I think, behaviors we've worked on with her, is getting her in her little station to get voluntary injections.
That is very cool.
So she has all, like I said, a lot of other behaviors to keep her mentally stimulated. One really fun one that I worked on with her a little bit ago was high five.
Nice.
And high five was in hope of eventually getting her to give her hand for blood draws.
Okay.
So we can try to high five her through the fence or something like that, so we can get a voluntary blood draw. But it's also just movement, keeps her active, keeps her standing up on her feet, bending down. She's 10 years old, which isn't the oldest of a raccoon. They can get up to 20, 25.
Okay.
But trying to start those behaviors now, so that if she does get older and we need to get blood on her more often or do other things with her, we already have those established, and medically wise, it'll be a little bit easier to train that behavior when we need it.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. Do I spin? Good.
Oh, good spin.
You can walk away. That's fine. So all the training is operant conditioning or positive reinforcement training. So she has the choice to participate or not. Sometimes she does really well and participates and does a whole session. Sometimes if she doesn't want to wait for the reinforcement and walks away, that's kind of on her.
Right.
She knows it's coming. She knows we have it. So it's her choice whether she wants to participate or not, which is always fun.
Makes sense.
Okay. And the newest behavior we're working on is a recycle behavior. So
okay.
I have in my hand a giant, it's just a orange trash can.
Yes.
It's about a foot and a half tall. And then I have a little tiny crushed water bottle inside. It makes it easier for her to carry. And we've been working on her bringing the water bottle into the trash can and recycling.
Okay.
So awesome. Putting it and cleaning up the trash in the area, because we usually see raccoons in trash cans eating trash.
Right.
But I think it's fun to think of them actually cleaning up the environment a little bit. We're going to see how well we do. We're a little overeager at times, which is what usually ends up happening. Can I have this stated straight up? Come over here. Nico.
Nico says no.
Recycle.
Yes.
Oh, and she brings it with her.
Well,
sometimes
that's okay.
But we're getting there. Sometimes
that's
she
okay.
takes the water bottle out, but we've gotten to the point where we're walking it all the way over, putting it in the bin, which is great. She definitely has learned a lot with this behavior. Recycle. Good. There we go.
Good job.
Good job. So this has been a year in the making.
Nice.
I started it last year, and it's definitely been a...
Can we do it one more time?
Of course.
I love watching her walk with the bottle.
Oh, yes.
It's ridiculous.
It is the cutest thing.
I want to see
ever.
If I can get a little bit better of an angle on that.
Recycle.
Yes. Unbelievably cool.
That's all I got in my hand, my friend. But yeah, so she's done really well with it. Very proud of her. It's been a year of, at first, just touching the bottle, then sliding the bottle. It's been slow approximation. So we're finally here where she can, we're going to go down the slide. We walked down the slide. It's not as cool as like going actually down the slide, but one of our docents donated that for her.
Nice.
They love Miko and support her, so she has her nice jungle gym.
It's very nice. This is a very lovely place with lots of fun things.
Lots of things to climb on, lots of things to interact with. There's paint on the ground, if you can tell. There's pink and purple everywhere.
I can.
So she just painted. We have an Etsy shop
where
we
no
sell
way.
Our paintings. And she just painted for Valentine's Day, so it's pink and purple.
I have to go buy a Miko print. I love animal art. It is my favorite.
So she does paint for us with a couple of other ambassador animals paint as well, but she is one of those that paints for us, so you can see there's paint everywhere.
Yes, yes. Yes, I see.
Once she paints, it's all over.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, artists have their style and their approach. Hey, I love.
All right, so we can try and see how she's feeling about doing a feed session.
Okie doke.
So, we feed her with, it's like a plastic margarita cup.
Right.
And that is because it helps use her hands. Mm. She knows the cup. She knows what we're doing.
Yeah, clearly.
But it helps her use her hands, which is great.
Right.
Because we always want her to stay nimble and stay thinking. So just eating out of our hands is not the best case scenario for her using her brain. It's pretty much just standard. So with this, she has to either reach her hand in and grab food out of it. Or if it gets stuck, or it's just kind of a different texture for her to eat out of, all that thing, all those sorts of things. So that's always super fun for her. So when we have guests feed her, we use this kind of little plastic cup, which is helpful. So we'll kind of explain the way this works before we get her out there is eventually I'm going to call it something different, but she's going to go on that log over there.
Okay.
And when she's on the log, we're going to have you go over to our different, our bench, and you're just going to have a seat on the bench.
Sure.
And then I'm going to have you just move the cup across your body.
Okay.
And what she'll do is she's going to climb up the side of the bench, hopefully, and she's going to climb across your body to eat out of the cup. She's very strong. So if you, if we need to, you might need to have two hands or just a very strong hand on the cup.
Okay.
She will knock it down 100%. And then we can try and see the best way to get her across, because sometimes it takes a second, but holding it here on your right side and then crossing it to your left so that she has to follow it. Because if not, if it's like here, she's just going to put two paws on your legs instead of coming up and around.
Okay.
So we'll try that, see how it works. I have plenty of food that we can do a second try if we need to.
Cool.
But it's always a super fun time. So I'm going to get her up on her log, and then I'm going to actually move this here.
Okay.
See that up there.
And then and can then I give I can this take to you? Phone, I have that set up for video, and I'm going to put this over here right now. Oh, Nico, what are you doing?
Oh, so she does climb up.
That's
here.
That's so good.
This wasn't meant for you to climb up on, ma'am.
Nico just climbed up to get to the bucket that had been moved away. Like, fearless animal and very creative. Very cool.
I know, ma'am.
Oh, man.
You can come down. I'll figure out what I'm going to do with this bucket in a second. While you're climbing, hold on. We're going to do this.
We're
throwing it out. We're hopping it out of there.
Have you thought of, or is it something you already might do?
Sure.
For encounters where you have her go up there, and then you could do, like, selfies.
Oh, we do that.
Oh
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I need
so we'll have her go up there and do selfies. So our encounters are usually just watch. I don't know if she finds your microphone, so just be careful there.
But she can have it. It's fine.
But our encounters are usually we come in here, they get to see her training, kind of like we are.
Mika grabbed the mic.
Ma'am, it's not yours.
You called it.
I knew it. But she'll usually do it. Now
so
she made it all
though.
Wet just for you to sit on.
Yep, perfect. Thank you, Mika.
They get to watch training session. We'll make enrichment with them so they can hide enrichment around here with her food in it. They'll have her find the food. Sometimes we can do the food session if she's kind of up for it. We just kind of see her behavior and what she's doing, how much mischief she's getting into, which today is a lot.
Today is a lot. I'm very impressed.
You know what? We're going to go with it. It's totally fine.
I love it.
If we want a spot she can't reach, you can put it up here.
Okay.
She can't reach that spot.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm going to, it'll be fine.
But
everything's fine.
I'm going to hand the cup to you so you can hold on to this. I'm going to get her over. And then once I tell you to sit down, you can.
Yep.
All right, you can sit down whenever you are ready.
I am seated. It is wet.
Yeah, it is wet. I just gave her a fish to give her a second. I'm going to release her, and she's going to go on this side of me, my right side. So while you have
hold
it over
the cup
there, you can
and then move
cross
it across.
Yep. Yeah, and try to hold it behind you so she walks onto your bench behind you.
Okay.
And then she'll cross over onto your lap. If your legs are, the more closed your legs are, the more space she has to walk.
That makes sense.
But, all right, Nico, go for it. All right, then cross over your body now.
Oh, she's fast.
She's
fast.
There you go. Perfect.
Hi. There you go. Oh, this is lovely. She is strong.
She's very strong.
She's very strong.
Oh,
that's
yes.
Cool.
Hi.
Can I have some? No, you don't have to.
It's smushed up trout, so have a blast. She's got some kibble and smushed up trout in there.
I'm not going to pretend that I've never eaten kibble, for the record.
Oh, you do get some Mika prints on your
Yeah.
There you go.
Sometimes I wonder what my dogs think when I come home from these
trips.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Because tomorrow I'm going to Akron to meet their red pandas.
Oh, my gosh.
So I will, by the time that I'm able to do laundry, mm-hmm. It will have been bats, pandas, penguins, and a raccoon.
Oh, my goodness.
Hi.
So she definitely has gotten thicker over the past couple of weeks for winter. She has a new winter coat in, which is great, but she's also just gotten a little chunkier. She's gained some winter weight as well.
Same.
Literally.
It happens.
Oh, yeah.
Good job. Oh, my goodness.
Hi.
All right, I'm going to have you stand up while we don't have food in there. Stop. Okay, good job, Sneaky. You did great. I think I got fish on your phone.
Yeah.
There's a fish on your phone. I could take that from you. Good job, girl. That was great. You did wonderful. And then if you want, we can try and see if she'll high five you.
Sure.
So what you're going to do, I'll feed her, but you're going to hold, so on her body, you're going to hold your hand out toward her right hand so that she has to crisscross so she doesn't try to grab your hand. Yep. That's one of the things we've come across. So you would hold your hand here. She high fives, then you can pull your hand away, and then I'll come in with some food for you. But
sure.
If you would like a high five from a raccoon, we could definitely see if she's willing.
I would like to
high five. Mika, you want to try? Miko.
It goes back at the microphone.
Come over here. All right, I'm going to have you give it a try.
Okay.
You can hold your hand out.
Miko,
look. High five?
High five. Oh.
See?
High grab.
Happen.
Okay.
All right, let's try again.
High five.
Good. You tried. We're doing our best.
Yeah,
if new people are hard, I know.
No.
We're gonna get there eventually.
You're so
she does the hand grab, which has been a thing. We'll get there. Good.
Want to try one more
try?
Time?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, it's the double.
She's because she's looking at me on this side. If I come over to this side of you, she might be better.
She's like, I can just stomp.
I know. Come on over. Come here.
Come here, Mika.
Target. All right.
Should I still go
you
right?
You can try. Yeah, go okay. toward that side. I just think if I'm over here.
Yeah, she just likes my hand.
She just likes your hand. Can you go up to the side? Just one. There you go. Just one, ma'am. On one side.
Nico, come on. You can do this. There we go. Oh, no.
If she comes in contact with you, pull your hand away really
okay,
fast.
Gotcha.
See how that works.
Right. Nico. Yes!
Good job!
Good job! All right.
Yeah, we just got to be quicker.
Yeah, I know it's important to get those bridges in really quickly, but I'm always bad at remembering that when a raccoon is, like, holding my hand.
I know, you're good.
You know?
No worries. And we're working on that to be a more consistent behavior.
Yes!
Good
yes!
job!
Good job! Thank you
so much for you. To kind of work that in, that was another thought of that one, is it's mentally stimulating for her to really just do one hand.
Right, right.
Which is important for her.
No, that's
sure
really cool.
We're getting high five, right? Right? You're doing a great job.
That was awesome. Yeah, no, and definitely, you could see the, it's always amazing to me, like, I talked to these amazing trainers, like Wouter Stallard, who probably worked with her, was at Columbus at that time, and was their, you know, ambassador training person, and, like, I have an interview coming up with Steve Martin soon and stuff, and I talked to Hillary Hanke, and they always, it's always the same thing, it's got to be, you know, active, you know, the action, bridge immediately, reinforcer. And then I get here and my brain is just like, there's a raccoon touching my hand.
Yes.
Like, I know the answer. I know how to do this.
Yeah.
There's a raccoon.
It can be hard because another thing for us is that you get so excited when they somewhat do the behavior that you want to just reward because
right.
it's great.
Right.
But you're rewarding for, like, specific things, which
right.
is important. So, like, I know I get really excited when they partially do it. I'm like, yeah, you did it! But I'm like, but that wasn't all the way, so I can't say anything. I can't react.
I'm going to brag at you later, but you don't get to know it.
Yeah. It's also the other way. If they're not doing it, I want to be like, no, that's not it. But they don't understand that.
Right. So no, of course.
Any type of communication and talking to them could be reinforcement in, by itself of just, oh, you talked to me. I did it right.
Right.
They don't understand the word. So it's also the quietness of not responding to a behavior if they didn't completely do it right so that they're not associating that with something else.
Oh, that's
Nico, do you want to come up here? We'll come up and do some stuff up here.
Oh, that's good climbing, Nico. Good dexterity.
So, yes, you can get some cute pictures of her up there. Oh. Definitely get some selfies of her is the best up there.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hold. She does try to jump off of it at times, so we have to just be cautious.
Nice.
I'm going to take two steps back just so that we have a farther jump toss, which is most likely not ideal.
Yes, no, I would hate for Miko to jump on me right now. That would make me so sad.
So sad. It would only because she's got lots of claws,
oh, I know.
So it's not the best thing, and we're trying to keep her away from doing that, so I'm trying
to
keep her
to
the
back. No, of course, I'm with you, but
she's got the long claws and stuff. It's not the best jump.
I always like to, my listeners are sick of hearing this by now, but I have one scar from all of my time with all of the animals that I have spent time with, and it's a red panda.
Of course.
But, you know, you wouldn't think of them as ferocious, but I mean, it's the same idea. The sharp claws that can lift the body up and
down
like that are crazy.
You can calm down here, friends, because we're jumpy. We're ready. Right here. That involves you walking down with your feet. She walks down the same way she goes up backward, which is funny when she comes down.
Is that a thing for all raccoons? Can they not walk down face first? Because I know,
I think it's just a little bit. I think she can physically. I think it's just easier for her if she's not head first in the, going down, like, momentum-wise. If she just backs down, it's just easier for her.
Gotcha. That makes sense. You are really gorgeous.
You end up tall?
Just so pretty.
I know. My hand has fish guts on it. It smells really good.
Yum.
He's got really good fish guts.
Are you having such a good day? Those claws are, I feel like with, like, the other animals that I've spent time with that climb up stuff, they're so much furrier, like panda hands are all the fur.
Yes.
That you don't, even though you know the claws are there, you don't see them as much. And with Miko, it's just like, here are claws, this can lift my entire body up things very easily.
Yes.
Yeah.
She has
a cool look.
One of the reasons we did the recycle behavior as well was just for hand dexterity.
Yes.
So they have extra nerve endings in their front paws, as well as their back, but also in their front, so they can feel fruits and veggies to see if they're ripe. So they can kind of feel that difference in their feet. They usually put it in the water. Some people think of raccoons as washing their food.
Okay.
But yeah. Usually the water makes it a little bit more sensitive so they can really feel the food better.
Oh.
Because it is going to be dark out. They're nocturnal. So feeling it in the water gives them a better view of the food that they're eating.
Right.
So definitely Recycle was one that uses her hands in a way that she doesn't use it as much when she's in here picking things up and moving them, which is something she would do if she was out kind of just roaming around the nature preserve that we're currently on.
Right.
So that's always super fun for her.
That's cool. And speaking of that, you know, this is a zoo on a nature preserve.
It is.
What does that mean? What does that...
it comes with its benefits and challenges at the same time. So we are in the middle of 1,000 acres, I think it is, the Traxler Nature Preserve. So we have nature all around us, and it is beautiful. We get a lot of really cool, we have trails around us, which is great. That helps us out when we are, it's like if she's, no, she's like, okay. That helps us out with all the trails in terms of things for people to do when they are walking around. If they, because our zoo is smaller, you can do it in like a half a day. So then they can go and see the trails. We have a creek, but that also means we can have animals out on the nature preserve. So we have a herd of bison out on the nature preserve and a herd of elk as well. So
which
they have,
so, cool.
So they have a large area of land that we wouldn't be able to give them in the zoo. We don't have as much land here that people can drive and see them on the nature preserve, which is really cool. So to be surrounded by an area that's well kept and well maintained, and they're really fighting to keep it that way. Especially if there's invasive species here too. So one of the things we're able to do for our giraffe and our other animals is there is an olive, an autumn olive that's invasive around here, and our giraffe loves to eat it, both nice. Of our giraffes. So we actually will go out and we have permission to cut down the invasive olive around here and feed it to our giraffe. And we're helping with invasive species removal here at the zoo, which is great. So that's one of the things we're able to help with and something that's helpful for us because it's just something extra fun browse for our animals to eat.
Right. Very cool. Tell me about some of the other animals that people can come and meet, because I know there's at least one celebrity here.
Yes. So we have our biggest celebrity is Bean, the Linnaeus two-toed sloth. He is probably one of our most popular encounters. That's a private encounter, up to 8 people total that can come and meet him at one time. It's about a 40-minute encounter with him. Most of our animals, it's about 40 minutes. So he's the biggest guy, Bean. He's really cool. We try to make it as interactive as possible with all of our animals, but that's up to them that day. We kind of read their behavior, see what they're doing, see what they're interested in. And then once we know all of that information, we can kind of make that decision day of or in the middle of the encounter.
You know who's very interested in everything today?
Mika.
It's Mika, yes. But
she
anyway.
Is looking at us. So she's also an encounter we can do.
Yes.
That's only 2 people just because of the amount of space we have in our habitat here. If there's more than 2 people and then the keeper that's in here gets a little bit crowded.
Also, she's mischievous. Like, let's just call it what it is.
Just trying to keep track of everyone in here and what they're doing is really important. So for her, we only have 2 people at a time in our raccoon encounters. But they're a really fun time. It is 10 and up just because she is an animal. Most of our encounters are 4, 5, and 6-year-olds. But because she is a little bit of a more higher level animal in terms of her mischief level. And then also just training wise and how much self-control we have to have when we're in here for her. We have an age limit of up to 10 and over for her. Then other than Miko, we do have our penguin encounters where you can go into our penguin colony in their habitat and sit and meet all of our penguins. Whoever decides to kind of come out and visit us is another really good one that people can do. That one is up to 4 people. That penguin encounter, I think it's a little bit different. We changed it up this year. It used to be in a private room with 1 penguin, and now we're going into their habitat with all of them. So it was a really good change, I think, to get to see the penguins on their rocks, in their habitat, where they live, and see their interactions. Instead of just meeting 1, you get to meet 11 penguins.
I mean, I dug it.
Yeah, it's super fun.
You also get to record a podcast.
Yeah,
there.
You can.
Or is that just ma'am?
So there's that one. And then we do have our fennec fox. He is also an encounter as well, where you can go in and get to meet our fennec fox. That's in a very specific room because he is very shy and needs to have it right where he lives. So we can only, we do 4 people at a time in there. And it's in his space where he's the most comfortable because as a fox, he's very shy. So sometimes he prefers to be near his home.
Yes, I remember. So when I was here for my first episode of the year, we met Audie.
Yes.
And I got to play fetch with Audie. And I remember that I was told very specifically, Audie may or may not participate.
Yes.
And I threw the ball or whatever, the toy.
Yeah.
And Audie went got it, brought it right back to me, and I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And I threw it again, mm-hmm. and Audie went and got it, looked back at me, ran into his exhibit, and was done.
And was done.
And was just very happy, back in his warm enclosure, great, good, happy. Mm-hmm. But I was like, well, that was a fetch and a half. It still counts. I played fetch with a fennec fox. That's amazing.
Yeah, he is definitely
really funny.
Back and forth in terms of participation, but then also... Sometimes he just wants to stare at everybody and not participate, but you could be in the room with him. He's just someone, he's an animal that likes his space and to have his comfort zone and then will come out as he pleases, which we're fine with that. Yeah. We let him do what he needs to do to be comfortable.
Absolutely. So do you have any fun or embarrassing or gross? Let's be honest. But do you have a story that ever happened during an encounter?
Probably. I gotta think.
I mean, definitely. Let's be honest. The answer is yes.
It's, yeah.
The question is, do you remember?
Oh, man. I mean, as you've noticed plenty of times, Miko likes to grab for the pouch. Yes. So I have had times where she reaches for the pouch and is successful and knocks it down and I have no more food left for my encounter because she has eaten it all and knocked it all over the ground. So that's a fun one. It's not a gross one or anything, but it definitely... threw off the entire day and the plans for what we were going to do because mischievous Miko took my pouch of food. But in terms of something that happened during an encounter, I'm trying to think.
It's time now, don't you know? We've come to the end of the show. But there's one tale left to go. You're going to laugh and say, oh no. It's time for the Rossifari poop story.
I think the old penguin encounters, we used to have the penguins on the floor in the room with everyone, and you would sit on the floor with the penguin. And I have had penguins poop on guests before,
Nice. Which
is something we tell them could possibly happen as you are entering a space with an animal that poops every 15 minutes. So their odds are they're going to poop while they're here. I have had a penguin, well, also poop on me, but poop on a guest as well,
Nice. Which
has happened. See, we know where the pouch is. We're mischievous.
Doesn't miss a dang thing.
No. She knows what they look like. She knows what they are. He doesn't have one either. She's looking for yours. She is a bottomless pit and will eat all day, every day, whatever she can find. She's a good hunter, so in here, we did block up on top of her I'm not pointing at you. On top of the air conditioner unit that goes to the building.
She just did a spin when you moved your hand.
We did.
She thought you were doing that command.
She's looking for it.
She's on it.
But we had to block off that area because she could climb up there at one point.
Okay.
And now we have baby birds that live there.
Oh.
And Miko is a great hunter and she finds any native animal that comes in here and hunts them down and loves them very much. They're her favorite thing to find.
That's awesome.
So that is the one thing about Miko being in here is that she loves the natives. As she is also native, so they're her natural food.
Yeah.
So she goes for it.
I bet. You are just a sweetheart. Did you know that? I see you. She literally was like, maybe I could go up there and jump on them.
She's thinking about the best way to get food and what she's trying to just fish for food right now and trying to figure out what behavior she can give me to get food. So she's like, oh, I'll high five. I'll spin. I'll this, I'll that. You didn't ask for it, but I'll do it. And maybe you'll give me a treat. I was like, that's not how this works. Oh, I took it off. Yeah, the pouch is gone. That's my radio. The pouch is now gone. She's like, I'll fish for food. I'll see whatever I can get. Whatever.
Give me
you
some
can
good
do.
Pictures, but mm-hmm. I don't have any reinforcing treats on me. Sorry,
not
kiddo.
Gonna, yeah.
I weirdly
not gonna
don't
work,
carry dead fish on me.
Yeah, right.
Maybe I should start to just have a bunch of like a parade of raccoons following me around.
It's like she would love that if anyone carried fish. Yeah, you would.
Oh, baby.
You would.
Oh, she's so sweet. Awesome. So, you know, before we head out of here, if you don't mind, we talked about the fact that raccoons do not make good pets.
Yes.
I'm just curious, though, you know, I know they're not endangered or anything.
They're not.
But, like, what do you think is the benefit, other than giving the pet message, which is, you know, a good one, but what do you think is the benefit of introducing people to, like, native wildlife? And I'm curious, with the people that you see that maybe interact with a penguin one time and with a raccoon, or just the different people, do you find that they connect more with the holy cow, I'm meeting a crazy endangered animal from Africa? Or is it more exciting for them to meet an animal that they've also seen, you know, in their backyard?
Yeah. I think that for meeting Miko, I think it's really important to meet a native animal that you're going to see in your backyard, out your window, in a safe setting where you get to have that interaction without it being potentially detrimental to the animal. Right. If you were to have a raccoon in your backyard and consistently feed it, and then it has to get trapped by Fish and Wildlife or someone and then euthanized because it's too close to humans, it now trusts humans too much, and now it's getting into trouble. So in this setting and environment, you can make that connection and interaction with an animal in a safe way that's safe for the animal and for you. Whereas if you were to try to do something like this in your own backyard with a wild raccoon, it could probably most likely end badly for you or mostly the raccoon if they get too used to humans and then end up having to get euthanized or move to just a different area because they're so used to humans. Right. So I feel like this is a really good opportunity for people who love their native wildlife, who love the animals they find in their backyard, to have that safe encounter without it being something that they really aren't allowed to do, because you're not technically allowed to interact with raccoons and wild animals. You're not allowed to have them as pets. It is illegal in most places to have these guys as pets for a variety of reasons. They carry diseases that affect humans. They carry diseases that affect dogs and everything. So they're definitely not an animal you're allowed to have with you. You have to have permits and all that sort of stuff right. to have these guys. So this encounter specifically is a great way to build that interaction and connection with your native wildlife without it being something that's dangerous to all parties involved.
I love that. And then what do you think? Do you think people get more excited meeting native wildlife and actually getting to interact? Or is it the more exotic? And I mean, I know everyone's different, but I'm just saying in your time doing this, you know.
I think people get more excited meeting Miko.
Okay.
But they are already so excited. They are already so excited to meet a raccoon in general right. that I think the level that they get to, the dedication to want to meet a raccoon, is already at a level compared to our penguins, that people who book our raccoon encounters already love raccoons so much that this is the highlight of their life.
Gotcha.
Which I understand as well. She is the highlight of my life.
Good highlight.
So I understand. So I think those who come to meet Miko already have such a well-rounded respect for them and want to meet one so bad that this is just the best thing that's ever happened to them. I think for our penguins as well, people enjoy the penguin encounters and they do find it oohs and ahs and like, this is incredible. But she's also a very interactive raccoon. So no matter what we do, she is going to come up to everyone. Whereas our penguins, I can't guarantee that they're not as interactive as she is. So she is definitely a lot more charismatic and interactive during encounters than our penguins might be.
Not reaching out to you right now, since I don't have reinforcers, is very hard, my friend.
It is,
you know.
Which is why we have the 10 years or older rule, because the self-control with her is really strong.
It's a challenge.
Because you want to so bad.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, again, thank you so much.
Of course.
Been incredible. And thank you, Miko. Thank you for grabbing the mic. I really hope it made some scratchy noises, because mm-hmm. that will be adorable.
I'm sure
awesome.
It will.
Cool. Thank you.
Perfect. Yeah.
Miko! Miko was awesome. That was such a good time. I hope y'all were able to picture how awesome that was. And of course, I'll be posting some pictures and videos from my encounter with Miko on Instagram throughout the day that you can check out and see the adorableness. Don't forget to go and support the Lehigh Valley Zoo, and definitely make sure you go there at LVZoo on Instagram and Facebook. And it was actually just recently Miko's birthday, so you can go and see birthday pictures from Miko. Such a good raccoon. I'm so happy I get to do all these things, and so happy I get to share them with all of you. So thanks for being here, and a special thanks to Laura Shank and Kristen Dickey, my Red Panda level patrons, and to all my patrons. And again, friendly reminder, there is bonus audio from this episode for my patrons, patreon.com/rawsafari. All right, y'all, the last thing I have to tell you is to remember that the word credits backwards is Steiderk. The Raw Safari podcast is produced, hosted, and engineered by John Rossi. Editing and fact-checking by John and Dr. Zoe Rossi. Our theme song is Sevens by Nathan Burke, performed by Nathan and John. Interrupting John theme and additional voices by Taylor Isaac Gray. You can reach John directly on Instagram and Facebook at Raw Safari, or by email at rawsafaripod@gmail.com. Raw Safari is part of the Daydreamer Media Network. Now, stop listening to me and go visit a zoo.